What's up, fool?
What's up, fool? Chilling right here, dog.
What's up, fool? Podcast.
Yeah, man.
Brought you by
All Things Comedy.
All Things Comedy
Network.
What's up, everybody? We're here, man. We're videotaping a podcast, so you can see all of us. You can see how we do it, you know, the behind the scenes. Also, we have, if we could just tell everybody right now to go to Felipe'sWorld.com. That's my webpage, Felipe'sWorld.com. And then on Felipe'sWorld.com, you know, we have a podcast page on the podcast.
A podcast page on the webpage.
Yes. Right there, people, you could see the behind-the-scenes photos.
Oh, yeah? Everything from the beginning?
Everything, bro. Like, you getting ready to throw in a laugh. You are practicing your laugh going, everything, bro. Doing push-ups, you know?
I've been improvising it, dog.
Me over there in the back over there stealing a coffee cup from the employees. You know, things like that. Because there's also pages of merchandise. There's tours. There's, but if you go to the podcast one, you can see all the podcasts that we ever did. I know, like, sometimes on iTunes, they don't list all of them right?
So all the episodes, you can get them if you want them.
All the episodes.
Ready to go.
All you can, everything, man.
Hell yeah, fool.
And also, we have a web series that's coming out called The Shop, and you can see that also on our Felipe's World webpage, and it's produced by All Things Comedy.
So all the info for Felipe and all the podcasts and webcasts, all on Felipe'sWorld.com.
Yeah, and speaking of the shop, we also have a shop on the webpage where you can buy the What's Up Fool podcast hats, and also the paintings are What's Up Fool podcast photograph, the one with me holding the headphones in front of the 6th Street Bridge. And that painting was done by Ernesto Llerena.
The poster?
The poster that signed, man. Yeah, and man. All that money from those posters go for some art class in El Centro. Imperial, you know, because they need class in El Centro, man, because everybody there just draws deserts, bro. And how many pictures of cactus are you going to have, bro?
It's an oasis, you know?
It's an oasis. And I don't know, man. Yeah, man, so most of the money for these posters, they go for this art class, you know, for art lessons.
Hell yeah, dude.
And they get to learn how to paint all stuff other than water, you know, and dates.
Hell yeah, and palm trees.
Also, man, if you want to buy stuff, not from us or from anybody, just say you want to download stuff from Amazon, just go to Felipe's World page now and just go through our Amazon link right there, and you can just get it through there, man. Don't get nothing out of it. It's totally free. This is all free stuff that you can do to help us keep the podcast going. We ain't going to stop going, man, but we're going to just keep doing it, man.
Spread the word.
I don't want to beg like they're doing those jazz stations. Have you seen those jazz stations?
I've been listening to
that. Oh, my God, dude.
By the way, make it a $10 donation, $100 donation, $1,000 donation, whatever you can donate.
Yeah, we're going to have the jazz caravan, and we're going to have loaded over 50 deep people deep, and everybody's going to have Angela Johnson free DVD. Angela Johnson just donated five. We won't say how much Angela Johnson's donated to the jazz festival. We're just trying to keep this station going. We're here at the All Things Jazz. Most shows are 1 hour long. Our show is only 12 minutes, so we're almost off the air.
But if you give us the donation, it'll be an hour long.
We're going to spread this. The jazz caravan. We got Tito Puente. Not Tito Puente. We have his
cousin.
A guy that he got that kicked out of the band, you know, and he plays bongos too, but Tito Puente said, there's only one bongo player, fool. What's wrong with you?
Hit that timbali.
Yeah, also Tierra will be there. Not the actual Tierra, the other brother. You know, they broke up. There's two Tierras. There's Tierra 1 and Tierra 2. No, for real, man. There's two Tierras.
There is, right?
Yeah, like you said, there was two Temptations.
And Zap and Roger, all that bullshit.
Yeah. Remember Roger and Zap?
Yeah, fool.
That's but the original, huh? He's the original of computer love.
All that shit, dude.
Give me some like computer love, bro.
Some computer love. Fuck, how would the I'm fucking stumped. I don't.
All right, people. All right, man. Computer Speaking love. Of stumps.
Said computer love.
Also, badass people, song. Show quick shout outs to Rogelio Vasquez Rio from Fontana.
Rogelio.
He just figured out what a podcast is and he downloaded SoundCloud.
Some people that don't
Thank
know.
You, man. Thank you out there, man, for telling people what a podcast is and bringing them more to our listeners. It was tough in the beginning, huh? I couldn't really say podcast. I would tell people we have a radio station on the internet.
Yeah, internet radio show, you tell people. Because still a lot of people don't know, fool, what a podcast is.
Also, man, Verified Coop from Canada. He promotes my show on Periscope, and he has a big Canadian flag. And this guy, I don't know what he does, but he just in front of his porch. He has a Canadian flag. He drew it.
A big-ass maple leaf.
He has a bong, and he just sits there, and he just pontificates.
I think I was going to be all cheesy. I was going to think about that word right now.
Verified Coop, what's up, you and your little taco meat hair?
Hell yeah, eh?
Yeah, it's like curly hair. It's not like not curly like mine and Koo. It's just curly like William Shatner, you know, like.
I like when black people say he got that good hair.
No, man. It's like like he has that conk.
What's a conk? Like conk, fucking conkies from Canada, dog.
So what's up, fool? We have a guest today, man.
Hell yeah, dog.
Because the Raiders are 2-1 now. So we gotta have a guest Raider related.
Raider related,
and also because Latino Hispanic
Heritage Month.
Heritage Month, man. We got a week now, bro.
Hell yeah, man!
It used to be Latino Hispanic Week. Now it's Heritage Month, bro.
Hell yeah, dude!
It used to be Cinco de Mayo.
That was
Did
it.
You ever do those school dances when you were a kid?
Yeah, ballet folklorico.
Yeah, man. And then it was funny, man. All the guys used to go wash their hands right after holding the girls' hands.
Yeah, dog.
Me, I used to hold my face.
I never did that, though. I never.
Liar!
No, I swear. When I was in kindergarten, I used to chase around these two half black chicks and just kiss them all the time, dog.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're
You
two
chased
half black
them?
Chicks? Yeah, dog. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, fool, but that was it.
What happened, bro? You stopped chasing women, bro.
Nah, I just want one girl, dog. There's no more time to play. We got to be good, bro.
Oh, man. So we have a guest cool. today, bro.
Hell yeah, dude.
All the way from awesome. San Jose.
Yeah, man.
By way of San Bruno.
Sam Burnham.
And she's sitting in the right position right there. Is she cool? Yeah. They can see her? All righty. So we're way over here now, like
I
a
know,
real
so
radio
far.
Station. What's up, people? We have Angela Johnson. I'm pretty sure we see you over there.
Oh,
what's
hi.
Up,
fool?
Oh, yeah. Over there?
Yeah, producer and
oh,
assistants.
Okay. Oh, thank you. There they are.
We have Angela Johnson right here, ex Raider Red, bro. She to do Hell Wild yeah. Coyotes and Gotham's.
You're yeah, so dude. Stupid.
What's up, Angela? How you been?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. How's the tour going? The non-ending tour, by the way.
Yeah.
Just, it's always happening. It is just, you know, I don't have a tour like some comedians do and a lot of musicians do where they're on the such and such tour or whatever it is. I don't have that. I just book dates and go, and then my material gradually changes.
Me
so.
Too, man.
Oh, yeah.
People always say, people like after the show tell me, man, how long is your tour? And I say, there's no tour, man.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
here
forever.
Because they wanted me here.
Yeah.
It's either me or pool tables are going to be here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm on the road always.
So you're from San Jose, right?
Yeah, born and raised San Jose, but I've been living in LA for 13 years. And then I met you shortly after I moved here, probably.
When did you move here? 2006?
I moved here 2003.
2003, right?
Yeah, but I started doing stand up in 2006. So that's when I met you.
Yes, I remember meeting you, man. I'll never forget, dude. I booked her at my show for Tequila Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I gave her $50, yeah. but I didn't give her the money because I don't know why. There was no money. And I told her that I'm going to give her the money tomorrow. But then tomorrow never came. Mm-hmm. And then she hit me up on MySpace. Hey, man, I don't mean to be, but can I have the $50?
I did. Right? That's funny. I don't remember the story,
on
but
MySpace,
I believe you 100%.
Bro.
I 100%
believe you. And I felt bad, you know, because I usually pay like all the women comedians before the guys. So I felt so bad.
Aww.
And I said, no, man, I'm going to give you the money, man. Meet me in L.A. So she met me at some Filipino cafe. And we split a chicken adobo sandwich.
Uh-huh. I don't remember the story at all.
Yeah.
I believe you.
I paid
I'm going to go there
$50 and we went to this. It was in
LA. And you
LA.
Brought me a sandwich? Oh, I do.
We split it.
I remember that.
It
yes.
was good.
And you took the
I
bus there.
I never had it. I never had that sandwich before. You knew what
yes.
it was. And I trusted you with it.
I do remember
and you
this.
You said, take the onions out. And I said, all right.
That sounds like something I would
it
do.
It was good, though. I was hooked after that. After that, I said,
I do remember this.
I took every Filipino there that I knew to have it. It was a one. I said, well, you got to have this dog. Angela Johnson, give it a thumbs up. So
as long as you take the onions out.
Yes. Have a good memory, man. You don't trust me with my
real
memory.
Real good memory. Shoot.
I don't forget nothing.
I have a terrible memory. Oh,
I don't forget
so
shit either, dog.
Ugh. Oh, man. Hard, dude. So this is something that bothers every comedian, especially someone like Angela Johnson.
What's that?
For hours at the Denver Comedy Works, everybody and their mother was showing up talking about, can I hang out in a green room? Can I get a guest spot?
Comics and shit?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go through that in the beginning? Like everybody that gave you a bone wanted a guest spot or they will show up and feel that they owe you something? Come on, Angela.
You know, I feel like... in the beginning, I didn't know what was happening because, it happened so fast for me. I didn't know the way things worked. I didn't know protocol. I didn't know how to – I was just kind of thrown into the situation and learning as I went. So I may have experienced some of that and not even known it and just took it as like, oh, so-and-so wants to hang out or something. But I can't even – I don't even remember it. I just remember – all happening all so fast at the same time that it was like I took it as help. Yeah, I remember you, DJ Cooch, Richard Villa, so many people helping me and just kind of like giving me spots and kind of showing me the ropes because I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew I knew how to do a Vietnamese accent and let's go. That's it.
That was crazy, man, because that was in 2006. That's when you signed with a manager, right? At the Latino Laugh Festival in LA.
Oh, yeah. I had an agent. Uh-huh. That's when I got my agent. Uh-huh.
I remember that day, man.
You have a good memory. Jeez.
And I was getting tore up during those days, Rodrigo. All right. I remember that Latino Laugh Festival not only because you were there and you got signed. I knew you got signed. But also because I was so drunk and they brought a limousine to pick me up. To do a 10-minute set. I said, what? And I remember I was a waist 38, but I didn't know I was a waist 40 now. And I had none of my pants were fitting. And I had the limousine guy drive me to Ross and wait till I put on pants that fit. I never forget that. Yeah. So fat. I was bummed out too. I was yelling.
I feel like you don't forget anything.
And my pants were so fat. But there was a guy there at the Latino Laugh Festival that was in that movie, The Big Lebowski. And I was like, he was the most unknown person there besides me. And then I was starstruck, bro.
With that fool?
That fool. I was cutting everybody, bro. You don't know who this guy is? This is Leeds. I remember when you started, how did that happen, man? How much do people think right away you're a millionaire once you started... the viral. How did that feel? Like sometimes I put jokes up and they go viral. Like 7 million people like it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
How did it feel? Like did you see it coming right away, or somebody said, Angela, man, you were just on Oprah right now. Your video
hilarious. Yeah, that was pretty much how it happened. I didn't even put the video up on YouTube. Still until this day, I can't tell you how YouTube works. It blows my mind. I don't get it.
Comedy Time.
Yes. So the video was up magically and I just started getting, text messages and, phone calls from people. And I remember my mom called me one day and she was telling me, hey, your cousin Christy was at work and somebody sent her an email with a video of you in it. And I was like, what video? Like, what are you talking about? I still hadn't even seen it myself, so I didn't know what she was talking about. And that's kind of how it started. I started getting phone calls from people saying, hey, somebody sent me a video of you. And this is right around the time when it was so new to receive a video in an email. You know what I mean? Like before that, there was no YouTube. There was none of this. So actually watching videos.
New, right?
Yeah.
It was new,
watching
bro.
Videos was a new thing. Getting emailed a video was exciting. It was like, oh, wow, I can press play in my email and it happens. That's cool. Right. So it was like perfect timing of this very funny joke meets opportunity and timing. And it just like flew like wildfire. And I remember MySpace is when it was all happening. And I remember logging into my MySpace one day. And there was pages and pages of friend requests and messages from people all over the place that I had never met before. And so this was like my first introduction to people being a fan of me and people reaching out to me who I didn't know who they were and knowing things about me. And I remember it was kind of scary because people would message me because they found stuff on the internet about me. I didn't even know there was things about me on the internet at this point. You know what I mean? And people would be like, oh yeah, you went to such and such school and lived by blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Who are these people? And why do they know all this stuff about me? So it was crazy. In 2007 is when that video came out. I didn't even put it up, but it definitely blew up my spot and changed the course of where my career was going for sure.
That's what's up, fool.
Yeah, man.
That's what's up.
That's funny. Like, it happened to you, and when we had Russell Peters on the show, he said that his 1 hour special went viral in China. Like somebody same thing happened to him.
Wow.
Like it was around the same time your blew up. His blew up in 2005 because I remember I met him in 2005, and like his special started blowing up. Wow, that must have been crazy, man. And it happened to the right person, too, because you were a well-grounded person, comedian. I'm pretty sure if that would happen to me, I probably would be sitting here, bro. I probably would have went somewhere just, what happened to Felipe? Oh, man, that fool could have made it, bro. What happened? He had 20 million views. What did he do, man? He choked himself in Visalia, bro. Wow, but, and one thing I tell people, you know, because we had Jimmy Schubert here, and he was talking about, he didn't really say names, he was talking about how people who go viral on Vine or Instagram, they make these little videos, and then they push them to do stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they really can't hack it.
Right.
But
right.
You, I saw you, man, I saw you in San Jose. You know, and you had Jeff Keith open for you.
Uh-huh.
Man, dog, she was up to like George Carlin, bro, with a yellow notepad paper, bro. You know, working that first 1 hour like a soldier, bro.
Going over,
you know, because you know she knew she wasn't ready, bro. Because I remember she had Al Madrigal open for her, and Al Madrigal was doing like 30 minutes, and then
opened for him.
But you were headlining.
The first time I headlined, they had to put 8 openers in front of me because I didn't even have enough material to headline a show. I was just basically closing the show.
I left my phone number during those times, by the way.
So this was in San Jose Improv. They put up 8 people ahead of me.
She had Sean Dizzle, Bush Escobar, Chris Thorin, that big fat fool, what's his name?
The fact that you know this lineup is hilarious.
Big worm.
Oh my
Marcella.
God, it's so funny. Kabir, probably.
Birdman, Kabir Sabiri.
Kabir Singh.
Sabiri.
Close.
I know, because these people show up when I'm there. So.
And again, this is like when I'm brand new, right? And so they were like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, G-Man too.
Headline the show. And so I don't know how anything works. I remember we sold out the San Jose Improv and they sold tickets to my show and I got paid a whopping $500.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They did you right your first time,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it was fun. And you learn as you go. It was things like that. It was like, oh. And I remember thinking at the time, too, I was like, but all these people came here and I only get $500?
For you?
Okay.
And they paid to get in, right?
It's cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a paid show. It was a full paid show. But this is, I was just starting and I only had 25 minutes of material. And so I didn't know how things worked. You know, I didn't know what deals were made. I was just showing up to close out the show and, you know, learning as I go. So.
And how long did it take you to do that, to get to the 45 from the 20?
You know, miraculously, and I wish I could write material as fast as I did then, but it was really about a year. It was 2007 when that video took off, and I had maybe 12 minutes of material at the time. And so people would be like, hey, when are you coming to Atlanta? When are you coming to Ohio? And stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, crap, I have 12 minutes of jokes. I don't know when I'm coming. And that's when I did that festival, and I ended up getting an agent, which was – it was unheard of to get an agent when you don't even have – like a half hour of material, you know, but something was happening with this YouTube thing and they knew that clubs were wanting me. And I remember DJ Cooch was actually helping me. He was booking some of my shows for me and acting as an agent for me in the beginning. And so I ended up getting with an actual agent and he took me on and he would put me I had to open up for a few headliners, and this is going to be unheard of when you hear this. It's crazy, but I've only featured 3 times in my entire career because I started offending headliners is what it was. Because, again, I didn't know what I was doing.
Hell yeah.
But I would show up and they would say, okay, you're going to go do radio to promote the weekend. Well, I didn't know features don't go do radio. That's the headliner's job. I don't know any of this and how it works. This is my first time. And so I would do the weekend with the headliner, and it would be most of the people there were coming to see me. And so these headliners were getting pretty offended, and I didn't know what to do, how to handle it. So I did it about 3 times before they were like, okay, let's try just giving her her own show and put some people in front of her to fill up the time. And then I just started writing as much as I could so that I could do my own shows. So it was by the end of the year, I was doing my own shows. So it took me about a year to get to at least 45 minutes of material, which is still crazy to write that much material in a year.
Hell yeah.
Now it takes me, oh, I don't know how long. I'll be, go months before I'm like, I don't have anything to say. There's nothing going on in life. You know what I mean? I don't have anything to talk about. But it's, I don't know. It was when the pressure was on, you know, and it was like, yeah, let me do that. But I really have only done full feature weekends for Tom Rhodes, Al Madrigal, and Steve Trevino. Those are the only people that I've ever really featured for.
Sneaky ass clubs, huh?
That's how they get you, dog.
Clubs are sneaky.
And
huh?
Then they wonder why Eddie Griffin wants white Air Force Ones before every show.
I know, man. That's sneaky. That's not even the headliner.
Unethical, all that shit.
Hey, he's a headliner. There's no radio. So they were telling the headliner not to do radio, and they were saying you instead?
I know they did that for one particular weekend, and then a different weekend they sent me with the headliner. And luckily this guy was very gracious, and I think he knew that I didn't know what I was doing. So I could tell that it was hurtful for his pride, for his ego, but he was very gracious with me and just kind of talked me through it a little bit. And but that was my first weekend out, so he knew I didn't know what I was doing, but you could tell it was a little sting there. And but I learned, you know, and it was unfortunate because I think people got upset with me, but again, like, I was like, oh, this is my second time doing this, I'm sorry. So.
Yeah, that's cool though, man.
Yeah, man.
It's interesting.
This is the first time somebody has said that they never featured that many times, and I believe them.
Who's be lying, huh, dog?
Dude, you met people that said I went straight to headline, standing ovation the first time, bro. you brought your family, bro. It was a Bringer Theater show.
Over there at the practice in front of your friends' club.
Because I remember you would, whenever you were blowing up, you would do those refresh Fridays.
Yeah, yeah,
there'd
yeah.
be a line around the block. Would you get $25? Nothing, huh?
Yeah, no, I don't remember.
Ooh. Yeah, when I won last Comic Standing, people were trying to approach me to do these shows, but then Gabriel Iglesias told me, just, you know what, just turn your phone off. You're going to get a lot of opportunities for better shows, but people are going to call you and tell you, man. How many times, like, Gabriel told me that a lot of people walk up to you and go, hey, man, my brother needs a limb, man. Yeah. We need to do a charity for him.
Yeah.
You get a lot of that?
Yeah, a lot of charity requests, for sure. I get people who are just, I've never met them, and they're emailing my managers and agents and stuff like that, and then hitting me up on Facebook and Twitter. And then I get people who I actually know from back in the day wanting me to do that as well. And it's still, even then, it's like, I can't do a charity show every weekend, even if we've met a couple times. It's still, it's a hard balance, you know. And so I've allotted myself a few charity events throughout the year. And it's usually something that I've either really believe in, or it's just really struck a chord with my heart. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do this for this person. But I give myself a certain amount. So at that point, when people do come to me, it's not like I have to decide, oh, should I or shouldn't I? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I actually booked up my charity shows, and I allot myself a certain amount. Because again, that's, and a lot of times too, if you do in a, like a competing market, like for instance, Texas, For some reason, I am so big in Texas. Take me to Ohio, not one person knows my name there. But Texas, they love me, right? And so I get a lot of people wanting me to do charity there. But at the same time, that's like my biggest market. And if I sacrifice my biggest market to do a charity, that's not a smart business move, you know? So it's a lot of living and learning and figuring out the whole how it all works, you know?
So you want to do a charity, people. Move your charity from Texas to to Council Bluff, yeah. Iowa.
If you can go to Ohio, anywhere in the Northeast, I will do every charity
Delaware.
Possible.
Yes, people. Just stop trying to put Angela Johnson with another comedian in Texas. It ain't going to work. You want to put her with somebody, put her in Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah.
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah. Anywhere up there.
But Texas.
I'll do it.
So you started off like a lot of comedians, like you started off working clean, or that you just naturally, that's the way you do stand-up comedy?
Yeah, that's just...
Naturally, right?
Yeah, that's just how I roll. My act is an exaggerated version of my life. You know, the way I talk, the stories that I tell, all of my stories are based in truth and then exaggerated for the sake of storytelling, you know? but... It's just the way that I naturally talk and am. So it just ended up working that way for me. I didn't have to try to be a clean comic or...
Rodrigo has his fake persona on stage. Where he called women broads.
Broads? My fucking Artie Lang? All these broads! I was high.
He said about 100s.
Yeah, it's all about what. Gotta keep it 100, dog.
But see, you started off as naturally, because that's the way you are. That's your persona. You know, you don't curse in a conversation. But there's comedian man who just work clean, just for the sake of working clean, man.
You get more work.
And
that
I know they're dirty off stage. And so the cleanest men on stage are the dirtiest person off stage.
And the dirtiest is the most creepiest, too. The
most creepiest. Like me, I'm not creepy at all. This tape? Nah. I'm not like that no more.
That's so my
our fans want to know, where can we find the Raider Red photos?
Hilarious. Yes. Oh, everything's on the internet. Google.
How did you audition, man? Were you always a Raider fan, or did you just, I need a job, man?
Hilarious. No, if you want a job, don't be a cheerleader for the Oakland Raiders. Don't be a professional cheerleader, period. It's basically volunteer work.
Oh, really? $85 a game or less?
Yeah, $80.
A game?
Yeah. When I was a cheerleader, this is 2002, 2003, we were paid $80 a game, and we were the highest paid cheerleaders in the NFL.
Damn. Al Davis was breaking records, huh?
Right.
And this stupid mascot, I don't know for what team he's on, he wants $2 million a year, man. The Vikings.
What?
The guy that dresses up like the Viking, he wants a contract that he needs, a five-year contract that's going to pay him. He wants a 20-year contract.
What does he do that's so
He just dresses up like a Viking.
I know a lot of high school kids that would probably
do that shit for free.
Kill that.
No, for real, man. When he's not working as a Viking, he's one of those guys from Citibank. No, for real, he wants a 20-year contract to continue to be the Viking for the Minnesota Vikings.
Is it his actual face or is he in a costume? Like
his actual face.
Oh, I see. I mean...
Really?
Okay, but listen.
Cheerleaders do more work. That's what my point is.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck.
Let alone a mascot.
Wish you all the best. What's in your wallet? Nothing right now.
But boom. See, people?
Hey.
She's been writing.
You'll be here all week, you know?
Yeah. No, that's crazy. We were the highest paid cheerleaders in the NFL. $80 a game. 2002, 2003. When we went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Against Tampa Bay in San Diego. That was the year.
That was a sad year.
Oh, yeah.
It was a sad ass game.
It was an amazing year.
Moreno, G. Riley were so drunk. So sad. Willie Barcena had to grant them a hotel room, bro. They were sad, man.
Yeah, dude. Larry was there. I remember that.
You guys, don't do anything in front of Felipe because he will remember and talk about it on his podcast 13 years later.
I will. I remember everything. People always remember, oh, Felipe was getting drunk all those times. No, I was taking notes.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I was. Tape recorder. Yes, yes. What else?
You grab your head fucked out when I can't remember. You don't want to, though.
The first time I met you, you walked into the Wild Coyotes in Montebello with another female comic, a Puerto Rican woman.
Yeah. Is she Puerto Rican?
I think she was.
Latin. Peruvian, I
Peruvian.
Think. Peruvian. Yeah.
And you guys did a spot, and I remember you killed it with that nail bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, as long as I could do that nail bit at the time, cool.
It was good. Dude, like, only two people have killed it like that from the beginning at that show. I mean, that show was rough, man. It was like the Mexican Apollo. It was called Apoyo.
No Apoyo.
And it was bad, man. And only Gabriel Iglesias was the last first person that ever where everybody was like, wow. And then next thing you know, you see him on TV and you go, oh, yeah, man. That fat guy used to eat ribs here.
Chicken wings.
Man, when was it, 2 years ago? When was it, in 2011, 2012? When the end of the Mayan Mayan calendar.
There it is.
I was spreading rumors at radio stations. That now, man, he goes, the world's going to end. I said, yeah, bro, the world's going to end, man. There's going to be a big comedy show with Paul Rodriguez, George Lopez, Angela Johnson, and Felipe Esparza, bro, the end of the world tour.
That would have been a good show.
That would have been a good show, bro. $150 a ticket, bro.
Yeah.
Only for true ballers.
Yeah.
Those are the nosebleeds.
We're alcohol, going out with a bang.
Alcohol will be sold outside the theater. Do you ever get that, you know, when people get too drunk at your shows?
Rarely. So I
know people drink in Texas, man.
Yeah. I've had a few times where I get the really excited girls who don't know that they can't handle their alcohol until they get to my show.
But I love you, Angela.
Yeah.
I brought 10 people.
Yes. Yeah. There it is. That's exactly. Were you there? It was, yeah. That's
you
what
get,
it is.
You get this? The Rodriguez family loves you.
Oh. No, I don't get that one, but that is good. I get the we love yous and all that. And I get a lot of woo girls.
I hate woo girls.
Woo!
Yes.
I hate woo girls.
Woo!
Yep.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
And then if you try to get them to stop, then it's...
You had some mean woo ones. Awful.
I hate woo girls because there's always two woo girls in a bachelorette party.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
I
the
hate
worst.
Woo
and
girls.
You try to get them to stop, and then they're like, "We're just having fun."
Woo!
We're just. Why are you kicking us out?
Woo!
I hate woo girls, and I hate older women with their agreeing laugh. Mm-hmm. You tell them.
You tell.
They call me number five. Woo!
Woo!
I hate woo girls, man.
Woo girls.
Woo girls are cool.
I bet you love the woo girl.
Yeah.
He's on clean up.
Hey. How about this guy? Angela, man, we're going to be at this club next door for the after party. So you're going to be there, right?
I do get some of those, but rarely. And I think, I don't know if it's maybe just the vibe that I give off that, no, I'm not going to go to your after party, but it doesn't – I don't get invited too often to after parties. I think it's because people know I'm just going to go back to my room and watch Law & Order SVU, and so they're like, whatever. Thanks for the good show. It's fun. But I get after my shows a lot of girls that want to be my best friend. And I love that. That's like such a compliment to me that after my show, they could...
They're holding you like this the whole time, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I gotta go.
After my show, they want me to move to Tulsa. They're like, yes, come be besties.
Fucking Tulsa.
But it's such a compliment. Wow. That you were able to relate to somebody for an hour on stage to the point where they're like, oh my God, let's be best friends. Like that, it's a compliment to me for sure.
I wish you put on a guy who do that, bro. Bro, you're like, you just spoke my life right now, bro. Have sex with my wife.
Don't mind if I will.
You can have her.
I don't want her just like you, bro. That's what we relate to, man. We both don't want her. Do you get people that go like that judge you because you're a Christian, right?
Uh-huh.
Your mother's Christian, your dad's Christian, or you have raised Catholic?
Yeah, my parents raised us Catholic, but we weren't involved in the church too much. I did my first communion and catechism.
You never got hit with a ruler?
No, I got hit with a lot of other things though. But I did my first communion and catechism, and then my parents got divorced, and I guess we weren't allowed to go to the Catholic Church anymore. I'm not quite sure how that worked out. And then separately, they started going to Christian churches, and then so they started raising us Christian after that.
That's that thing, bro. When you're in a Catholic church and you want to get a divorce, and then you gotta pay the church, and if you don't pay, you can't come back to the church.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what it was. Oh, I didn't know all that.
What? An annulment.
That's only when you get married.
You
though.
Pay a little fee to that church.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and that takes an envelope.
Yeah.
Oh,
a fat envelope.
Snaps. So yeah, I guess that's why we left. We were poor.
You guys just go church hopping.
Yeah.
Catholic church would be asking for too much money all the
too
time
much
with that basket,
money,
man. Again?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times are we gonna kneel?
And they don't want change anymore. They want dollars, fool.
Like in our church, there's always a menudo sale at the end of the church.
Hilarious.
I would have money to eat, but I gave it all to you guys.
That's funny. Menudo.
Because the priest knew that everybody was hungover, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's smart.
So Father Greg Boyle, he'd be like this, hallelujah. Afuera va a haber menudo. $5 por el vaso. And then like there's people that saw people. There was people there that would buy, like, whenever there was a menudo sale at church. Know this, a Catholic church, people show up with their own little pot and go, how much for a pot of menudo?
Really?
Oh, no, to put it in there?
Ooh,
yeah.
Take home
so,
to go.
So people take a pot of menudo from the menudo cell. He go, like, how many, just give me 10, fill it up. I'll fill it up for $10. So he'll fill up the whole pot for menudo that he takes it home.
It would be by cups, right?
And while he's filling up the pot with menudo, you got to train your kids to steal condiments like tortillas, cinnamon. Cilantro and onions. Did you like menudo?
Yeah. I don't eat the tripe, but I do like menudo. I like pozole better because...
There's meat.
Yeah, there's meat that you can actually eat and not, like, weird suck cuts on the slime.
But you love the tripe, man.
I love menudo. Menudo's bomb.
He's tripe sushi, huh?
Hell yeah, dude.
Ooh.
The tripe-fecta.
Ooh.
So how long were you a Raiders cheerleader for a year?
1 year. Yeah, 2002, 2003.
You don't travel
season.
As a cheerleader, huh?
No.
Wow,
only the
man.
Super Bowl. So we got to travel to the Super Bowl that year, so that was nice.
What was that like when they lost? What was that vibe?
It was depressing. It was like, I remember it was really unbelievable. Because if you remember like how many interceptions were thrown that day, it was like, wait, is this a joke? So it wasn't like, oh, close game.
Oh, the beatdown.
Oh, no. It was like... I remember us all looking at each other like, what is this? What are we doing here? What, we're like embarrassed at this point. You know what I mean? It was a fun experience to be there, but it was embarrassing. It was, yeah.
It was bad, man. Cheerleader were writing their resumes during the game.
Yeah. You didn't remember when we were at Willie's house and he had all that Raider stuff up? And then by the end of the game, that fool got all drunk, started tearing that shit down. And then this fool's going to say, that fool needs to jump off the porch now.
That day I was watching the game from the laundromat, dude. The laundromat in Silver Lake. I was doing my laundry.
That's a sad day. Watching them lose the Super Bowl. At a laundromat. That's a sad day.
Then I'm taking my Newcastles, and then I drove with my laundry to Willie Barcena's house, and everybody was drunk and sad, dude.
It was horrible, dude.
Yeah. Eating a cold carne asada, dude.
You want to reheat that shit, dude.
Oh, that's funny. No, yeah.
So you were, I never knew this, that Bonquiqui, that's you made up that character. It's not a character made up from Mad TV. So you could travel and do whatever you want with it. I don't know it worked that way. I thought when you made up a character, they keep it.
Well, it depends. It's all different situations. For me personally, the way it was then, which I'm sure now contracts change with the whole new media and social media and all that kind of stuff. But at the time, it was you make a list of all your original characters that you had coming into the show. And so Bonquiqui was a character that I actually auditioned for Mad TV with that character. And so she was already established outside of Mad TV, but Mad TV did blow up her spot and make her visual for everybody. So it's very vague, but we kind of both have rights to it, you know, but she is my character and things like that. So I am able to do my music with her and we did a record with Warner Brothers Records. It was a comedic hip hop album under the character Bonquiqui.
Sweet.
We just toured with the character this past summer. We did a music tour. It was a lot of fun, a comedic music tour. I never, never imagined I would be doing that. Like when I was coming to Wild Coyotes or wherever we were, I would have never been able to tell you, yeah, I'm going to be in the next 13 years touring as a music artist, making people laugh with music. I never thought that would be part of my journey, but it was a lot of fun. And we're looking to do it again this coming spring and go to some different cities that we weren't able to hit up the first run. So.
Weirdo Yankovic be like, Bonquiqui.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us some Bonquiqui right now.
What do you mean?
Do the character. I feel like a sleazy DJ who don't know nothing. Yeah. Some Bonquiqui. Right after sports.
Yeah. You're crazy. Bonquiqui has literally taken on a life of her own.
You know what? I like following your page because I like how stuff grows on people. Like, I like watching little Bonquiqui fans sometimes. How sometimes you see like a fan dresses up their daughter like Bonquiqui or uh-huh. It's hilarious, dog.
Oh my God.
It's like part of their life now, man. That character spoke to them. You know what? Yeah. That character spoke so much, my little daughter would be Bonquiqui for the day.
This was a little Bonquiqui fan.
Like, I see people dress up their kids like Felipe and Gabriel at the same time. I met a guy in Denver who his son looks like Gabriel Iglesias. He's fat. You know, he's greasy. He's unhealthy. He has bad knees. You know.
The son.
Yeah, and then his other son has long hair, chubby, oily face like me. You know, he's saying fool all the time. He's eating chips. Like
no hands, I'm just draining that shit.
Just crunching up the chips and eating them. And I said, wow, this guy created his sons into characters.
That wasn't a character they were playing, or they?
No, he dresses up like his son. One of them had long hair, and the other one looks like Gabriel.
And he did it on purpose?
On purpose.
Oh, wow.
Because he likes
it so much.
Well,
at least it was on purpose.
It was on purpose.
Oh, my God, dude.
Well, what an honor to have many of you come to your show.
So what is that like, man? Your life is this. When are we going to see the Angela Johnson World Tour finally? Not this. Angela Johnson just going to be here performing.
Right, right.
Like a world tour, like the Victory Tour, like the Jacksons.
Yo, I would love to conquer the world, but I'm still working on Cleveland right now. So.
I'm glad you're keeping it real like that, fool. Like people keeping it real.
That's
like
what's up.
People say, oh, man, she's selling out everywhere. We just found out Cleveland's tough.
No. Oh, my God. I'll tell you right now. The whole Northeast has no idea who I am. It's so funny. I'll talk to Joe Coy about this all the time. We'll call each other and just make fun of each other. Like if one of us has a really good weekend, the other one has a terrible weekend, then we definitely rub it in each other's face. But so anytime I do terrible, I'll call him right away and be like, oh, you're going to love this. I guess how many tickets I sold this weekend? And he'll be like, what, like 300? No, try again. 11. Yeah. Yeah, I sold 11 tickets to one of my shows.
How big was the theater? 50?
Well, no, it was the Improv.
Oh. The Improv where?
Cleveland.
That one right there by the ocean, that little sea right there, that little
port? Man.
I don't know. I never been there. I'll tell you when I get there.
Oh, you canceled? Oh.
They wanted to cancel. They called me.
What year was this?
This was Tuesday.
This Tuesday?
Yeah. This was last Tuesday.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I've been there, man. You know, funny, when I was there, They gave us this. Listen, man, we're just going to start giving tickets away.
Oh, no, yeah.
They were hard.
It's insane.
Remember?
They were hard.
Your host got to do this and that and all that crazy shit.
We had 277 people there one time, all giveaways, but we didn't reach the bonus because the bonus was too was 300. I said, man, bro, you're going to let me slide 23, fool?
Yeah, they had a radio host feature for this.
You know what? Something to say to that. Gabriel taught me this one, and I didn't, again, not knowing how things worked. But I remember there was one weekend where I had that kind of a deal where it was you get a bonus at X amount of people being there. And let's say it was at 300 people being there, right? And I remember this one club manager was so shady to me. It was 300 people was my bonus, right? And he's like, ah, 298. You were so close. God, I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. Two tickets away. And I was like, really?
And they ran out of alcohol that
and
week,
he
too.
Wouldn't give me my bonus. And I'm like,
I've got pocketed that.
Serious?
Shit,
and I remember talking to Gabriel Iglesias about it. And he goes, so then why didn't you just buy those two tickets? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. And so he's the one who taught me. And he's like, yeah, weigh it out
so
what your bonus
his
is.
Own tickets.
If you got to get your bonus and you're 10 tickets away and you still are going to walk away with more bonus than you would buying the tickets, then just buy your tickets. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so smart. I wish I would have knew that.
That was slick.
But, yeah, that was some shady stuff. So
that is shady. That's a slick-ass move, though.
Oh,
well, yeah, you almost sold out by 10 tickets. Martin, go buy them.
Yeah. Oh, unreal. I will 100% do that.
That's a good move, more, bro. Thanks. That's a good move.
Yeah.
That's slick.
That's happened to me so many times.
You got chosen on it, dog.
Look, man, you were just shy. You could have sold out, but we gave away these tickets. You really didn't meet the bonus.
Mm-hmm. Any way they can to get.
Wow, they must
it.
Have made. Well, that's crazy. You went through all that because I went through all that too. But I didn't. I thought it was just me.
No,
they fuck with everybody.
Oh yeah, it's,
if they
what happened to you, were you already? You know it's wow. Because I know that you were shy that much. 298. That means the club made a killing in food and alcohol.
Yes.
They should have let that slide, though.
Of course they should have. Ethic would have said,
yeah. Hell yeah.
You Ethic would have said, oh, my gosh, we want you to come back to our club. Let me go ahead and give you the bonus. And I remember, you know who did this for me? What's his name at Ontario Improv?
The manager?
Yeah.
Josh?
No, before Josh.
Clark.
Clark.
Clark's cool.
Clark was so amazing to me. I remember when I first, and it was like Clark did this to me probably 2 weekends before this club manager did this to me, right? So it was like 2 weekends before that I was doing Ontario, and Clark, I was probably a good 45 tickets away from the bonus. And he said, you know what? I'm going to give you this because we want you to come back to our club. So just like as a sign of good faith, here's your bonus because we want you to remember us and come back to our club. I was like, okay, great. So that's the way it should be done.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? This fool over here said, ah, so close. Really? Hell no. Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes there's places where you know you're going to do well, but they say, how about if I just, I'll bring you in on Tuesday night first.
What do you mean?
Like they know, like you know, you do well at other places. Like this happened to me in the beginning.
Oh,
like,
uh-huh.
I couldn't come in on the weekends, uh-huh. So I had to sell out Tuesday night at the DC Improv first.
Oh, before they'll give you a weekend.
Yeah,
yeah. That I'm sure
killed it on a Wednesday night.
Oh, right. And then okay, yeah, we'll bring them back.
And we'll bring you back, but we're gonna give you a different percentage from that one day. Though I know on that one day you got 75% of the door. Well, we're not gonna give you 75%. Saying a door every night,
mm-hmm.
So then it changes now because they know if you can sell out 100% of the tickets on Wednesday, and we're giving you 75% of the door, we're not going to give you that much for the Friday and Saturday. Are you crazy? 40% of the door.
Damn,
I think
that's
at
how
that
it works,
point,
huh?
Yeah, at that point
shit,
you have
dude.
To
theaters, huh?
Yeah, you have to. Just put your foot down and you say no. And then you let them weigh it out. Do they want to lose you? You know, like you saw what I did on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And yeah, you're going to be taking a risk giving me a whole weekend. But that's the risk you take. But I'm not coming unless you give me the same percentage. If they say no, then you move on. You go to the next club. And somebody will give you that. And you'll start building it eventually. But yeah. But no, I still... Like I said, there's some markets where I'll sell out a show if I put the tickets on sale right now, and I'll go there tomorrow. They'll sell out.
Chicago.
Nope, not Chicago. I do well in Chicago, but that's not one of my
I got a guy that you could work with that you could, every time you go to Chicago, you're going to say, wow, I am shocked that this happened. I know this promoter named Mikey O, and I headlined there, Joe's Bar. How many people that host? 300. But with it's one of those rooms where it could be more if they take out all the seats, because it's like a house of blues.
Yeah.
But this guy named Mikey O, he has a mailing list, and he knows how to reach Latinos. He does street marketing. He goes old school. He hires people to pass out flyers. Mm-hmm. He does posters. He does radio. And you don't even gotta do man cow to sell out your show. Okay, and I went there and I sold out 3 shows, and I never been there in my life. And I didn't want to do Zanies. I didn't want to go to that far club that's 2,000 miles away from Schaumburg. Chicago Schaumburg.
Yeah. Yeah.
So man. And then he had asked me, man, you think it'd be hard to bring Angela Johnson? I said, I don't know, man. She probably does the state theater. But yeah, man, Mikey O will hook you up.
Thank you for
you'll be the man. Over
shout
there.
Out to Mikey O. Hey,
Mikey O, if you're listening, hook her up, man. This is no joke.
We did.
Wow, I didn't know that. Because I know places where you can kill. Like, I know you kill there. Put it this way. You want to know where you kill? Follow where Baby Bash goes.
Oh, there he is.
For real, Angela. I follow.
What to do, baby boo, Baby Bash. Hey.
Hey. Treat him like a psycho.
Hey.
Somebody called me up. And they goes, Felipe, yo, dog, I want to bring you to Yakima, Washington. I never heard of Yakima. I don't know who's there. I called a Baby Bash. I said, man, what's up with Yakima? Oh, man, Yakima. I've been going there for the last 10 years. Hello, Mexicans. And then, yeah, man, I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's the Northwest.
Northwest
you'll kill it over there, man.
I've done Seattle before. And like I said, there's some markets where I could kill it and sell out a big, huge theater. And then there's other markets where I'm still building and still... And it's crazy how I can do one weekend where I'll sell out completely, and the next weekend I'll go to a builder market. And it's this weekend I'm doing Cleveland, and they wanted to cancel it because I wasn't selling tickets there. And I was like, no, I want to keep the show.
They passed out one flyer, bro.
Yeah. I know, huh?
I wanted to keep the show because I'm trying to work on new material. I need my hour premieres this Friday on Netflix. So once that comes out on Friday – all that material is now old, but I'm still using it. You know what I mean? So it's like, crap, I need to build new material. So no, we're going to keep this weekend, and it's just going to be real rough on my ego, but real good for my act, you know? And I'm going to work on some new stuff and build some new stuff and try some new stuff.
I want you to post a photo of that audience. I want to see it.
Oh, I will.
I posted a photo of the one you post up in Pittsburgh to let everybody know, man, it ain't all good everywhere I go.
Oh, no, no, yeah.
I was in Pittsburgh Improv, and I posted a photo on Sunday. We have 45 people, but they all paid, all right?
Pittsburgh, till this day, now Cleveland's about to take the reign, but Pittsburgh was my worst weekend of my entire career. Worst and best, because I had the best time. I had so much fun when I was there. We went tailgating one of the games. Like, we had awesome. Such a good time, hung out with the staff at the club, and we had so much fun that weekend. But that was a weekend where I sold 17 tickets. Everything else was comps. Like, it was bad. So... but that weekend, I grew so much as a comedian because I can get very scripted where I know what joke comes after this joke comes after this joke and just stick to my lines.
It was a humbling week.
Oh, it was humbling for sure.
Very humbling experience.
And I get afraid to take risks. I get afraid to try something new because I know what works. So let me just stick to this. You know, if I have a sold out crowd, I don't want to try something new and disappoint people. Let me just give them my hitters because they all paid to get here, you know. So now I'm in this crowd where there's maybe 30 people in the room. Everybody hates me, it feels like. You know what I mean? And so I was like, well, you know what? Let me just try new things. Let me just flip my act around. And I remember I did my act backwards. And I did everything that I closed with. I did it right in the beginning and just flipped it just to try something different.
You hear that? The first will be last and the last will be first.
That's right. Well.
Dude. You're dropping science hey, right now, though.
So it was the best and worst weekend because I had sold – no tickets. It was 17 tickets. Unbelievable. Unreal. It was humiliating, but at the same time, I grew so much that weekend, and it was so valuable, and I took that with me. So I knew this fall, I booked a lot of shows in markets where I know I have no fan base there for the purpose of building my act and building my market there too. Even though I only sold 11 tickets in Cleveland, those 11 people are going to bring a friend and tell them about next time. And then next year I'll sell 22 tickets. So it'll be great.
That's what's up, fool.
Hell yeah, dude. Dropping mad knowledge right here, Angela. That's fucking, that's the shit, man.
That's what's up, man. So
the grass ain't always greener. It's still got to be mowed, fertilized, worked on.
So how are you doing in Florida?
I do pretty well in Florida.
Orlando's always good, huh?
The South, I do really well in the South. Orlando, I do well.
Tampa.
Tampa's Jacksonville. Good. I do pretty well in the South. It's the Northeast that I have a hard time with.
Yeah, man. How about Boise? You been to Boise, Idaho?
I have. Did I do well in Boise? I think I did. I have a lot of family in Idaho.
So we know another guy.
Oh, you know what I did? I did Spokane. Which was right next to Idaho. So I did Spokane, Washington. And I have a lot of family that lives in Idaho. So I remember they all drove in like 30 minutes to Spokane. So I've done Idaho. I have. I did well. Mm-hmm.
You got that people who tell you after the show? We drove 7 hours,
yeah.
Angela.
Yeah. Yep. We drove in from Montana.
Damn. We hit a deer on the way over here.
Yeah. Yeah. How come you don't come to Montana? Oh, I'll try. Try my hardest.
Is there any way you're going to make it to Waimama, Florida? That's what some people tell me. There's a lot of Mexicans over here.
Where you know what?
Why, mama, bro? I said, all right, bro. Get a big ass van and drive them all to Tampa. Tell them there's casinos over there.
Yeah.
And the big lots.
Drive them all to Tampa. We'll meet you
free
there.
Free cutting candy for everybody.
And you know what? I find that I have an issue with because I am a Latino and I am a comedian that a lot of times promoters or bookers are like, oh, Latino comedian. And then I'll get my press itinerary and it's like all these Spanish stations. And I'm like, okay, one, I don't speak Spanish. Okay. Two, my demographic isn't really Spanish speaking Latinos.
And I know that.
Yeah, it's English speaking Latinos, Filipinos, white people,
Indians.
Soccer moms, white soccer moms from the Midwest. What radio station are they listening to? Because call them. That's where I need to be. You know what I mean?
But that's funny how I see those ladies at my shows too, 7 deep, talking about we love you since Last Comic Standing.
White people? 7 deep at your show?
Like 7 soccer moms.
Yeah. Yeah. Soccer moms love me. But they're like, oh, she's a Latina. Let's do La Mega 97.3.
Yeah, can we get her a Kiss FM, people?
Yeah.
I never get Kiss FM. I always get the revolting oldie station.
97.9 La Raza. That's what they bring me to. And then I come on going, hi. Hey, come out to my show, everyone.
Este sábado empezando en la Tempe y pero tenemos la Ángela Johnson, por favor. Aquí está la niña.
Yeah, and I go, I'm sorry, what'd you say? That's my interview.
That's funny, dude.
That's funny.
Stereotyping.
So you do well, obviously you do well at the DC, in DC?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. DC is a good comedy town. I do pretty well there.
I wear Martha's Vineyard's Funny Bone. They know funny, but I just made that up.
I was like, not familiar.
I'm trying to remember where the place is, bro. Where you say it was MT Productions, bro.
Well,
you and I went to.
Martin and Tony Sanchez show back in the day.
No, bro. I know. I used to do these shows with these two guys named Tony Sanchez and Martin Moreno. And they used to have a show in Orange County. And then one time it just started dying out because they did it every week. And then Joe Diaz said, oh, man, it's horrible over there. MT Productions.
Martin and Tony.
I'm trying to remember where the last time Pittsburgh was dead, you know. people didn't know
up. I'm going to Pittsburgh next month too. It's gonna be the same thing.
Man, it was tough, man. Like, I didn't reach no bonus. West Nyack. I'm going to West Nyack.
I'm going there too. Have you already done it?
I've done that 3 years ago with Rodrigo Torres. We got snowed in. We missed the Friday night two shows. But the next day, people showed up. There's a lot of people over there who know who I am, but they don't want to leave their comfort zone of Queens to drive an hour or 2 hour bus to go to West Nyack.
Into the woods.
But
New York, I have a tough time with too. I do well, but not really well. Like I do Gotham in actual Manhattan. When I do Manhattan, this is my first time doing outside of Manhattan. So when I do Manhattan, I do Gotham, and that club is small. It's like 250, 275. I've done it 5 times now, and I'll do it like every 15 months to 2 years. I'll come back there, and I've done it like 5 times. I have not once sold out a weekend there. I've sold out shows, but not a weekend. You know what I mean? And that's a small club. So I'm still building New York. Like, it's not on and popping for me like Texas or, you know, where Arizona.
We got to get you on a Tyler Perry show.
Or Wendy Williams, eh?
I want people, I always trip out when people know how to build your career just because they watch you on TV. Angela.
You see the engineer success, Angela, over here.
You should have had your own show, man. Not that chick on Channel 7, man.
Yeah.
I swear, man. I've been following you since day one.
Yeah.
I quote everything you do. I nicknamed my daughter Bonquiqui.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People always say that, Felipe, you should have been that fool up there. I know I should have, bro.
Yeah.
I should have, bro, but then I'm the guy who won last cover standing, bro. I'm glad that happened right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank you for telling people to vote for me, by the way.
Yeah.
Angela Johnson told people to vote for me when I was on last comic standing.
Of course.
Russell Peters did it, and Gabriel Iglesias did it within 2 hours, people. That's why the other comedians didn't have a chance. The word deep.
Yeah.
That shit was tight.
Should you speak Chinese or Vietnamese, or did you just make that up? What?
Nothing.
See, this is my fan base right here, man. I don't know how to write jokes.
No, fool.
Just stutter everything.
No, you know, speak Spanish. Like, all right, fuck it. So, do you speak Vietnamese? But it sounds like you know Vietnamese when you're doing it. The way you do the accent, it's all dialect.
Well,
all perfect.
Are
those words you really saying or just made it up?
No. Yeah, I count gibberish? To 10. I count to 10 in Vietnamese, and I say Happy New Year, and I say thank you, and then I just make up words that sound like those words, that are similar to those words. That's what I do.
Are you not allowed at nail shop salon no more?
some love me, some hate me.
Do they know who you are? Like, do they
sometimes.
Know? That's the one.
Sometimes. There's been times where I have been recognized and it's a friendly situation. And then there's times where it's not a friendly situation.
Got hostile or what?
I don't talk like that.
Not hostile, just it got real shady real quick. I was in Orlando, Florida. I went into a nail salon and the girl, I went to get a mani-pedi, right? So I started with my manicure and she's doing my manicure. And she got real cold all of a sudden, just like not friendly. And she's talking to them in Vietnamese about me, clearly. And I'm like, okay, maybe she recognizes me or something. And she's like being a little rough with my hands, you know, like just filing like real rough. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. She's saying something to the girls in the back. And I hear one of the girls in the back pull out her phone and she didn't have her volume down, and I hear her pull up the video, the nail salon video. So as soon as she pulls it up and she turns it down, right? So clearly this salon was not a fan of that joke. So as soon as my manicure was done, I was like, okay, I'm done. Thanks. I'm not going to get my pedicure here. That's okay. Thank you. Whatever. I just paid and I left. And that just little situations like that where clearly they're not fans. But then I've had other salons where
they like, put an extra finger on you.
Oh yeah. They give me some extras, and I talk about it in my new hour special where I say like the aftermath of what's happened since then. And I had this one time where I was at a salon. The lady was doing my pedicure, and she looked at me and she said, "What your name?" and it wasn't like the typical friendly way that they do it, like, "Hi honey, what your name?" You know, like that. It wasn't smiley. It was checking me. It was, "What your name?" Right? And I was like, "Oh snap." And I was with my mom and my sister. And so I kind of just like look over at them like, "Oh, it's about to go down right now." And I said, "Angela." And she just looks at me and she goes, "That what I thought." Damn. And I was like, "Oh shoot!" Like, gotcha. I didn't know, was she gonna like cut my toe at this point? Like, how was this situation going to progress? Like, I didn't know what was happening. But she and this salon was actually a fan, and they liked the joke.
Oh, okay.
And so at that point, she was like, "That what I thought. I knew. I seen you come here. I say that the girl that say that." Go. And then they all start talking. Then they're all like happy about it, you know, like, "Oh, we think that's so funny. You do. We love the Joe. You do." And they're all about it. But it's night and day from the first situation where they were not about it. And this one, they were like, "Come back to see us again."
October 2, people, on Netflix, the 1 hour special of Angela Johnson.
What's the title of your special?
Not Fancy.
Hell yeah.
Oh man, it's gonna be awesome. So, you know, that's good. You're doing that. So this is like you're gonna let your fans know what happened after the whole nail thing. Awesome. Yep. We've been wanting to know.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's a crazy genesis.
Inquiring minds want to know.
That's cool, man. You're so honest. You know, like, a lot of people don't keep it real, man.
Nah, dude.
They're just selling out everywhere.
Real,
every
dude.
Show is sold out. You know.
Keep it at 100.
My fart smell like cologne.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, wow. I really thought that you were selling out like, all over the world. Like, you're world famous.
I'm sorry
Angela
to disappoint
Johnson.
You, Felipe.
Well, I'm letting you know, man. Just follow where Baby Bash goes, man.
Yeah, okay?
Because he goes to
we
places.
Should do a tour together.
We should. Parts Unknown with Felipe Esparza.
Yeah, that's a good
Angela
title
Johnson.
For a tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
And have you been to Canada?
I've only done New Faces.
And ethnic shows.
New Faces in Montreal. Have I done anything else? No, I think that's it.
I know you'll do well in Toronto.
I would like to go there.
Because I've been to Toronto, but...
And they like you there?
Yes.
Then maybe.
Because I work with Russell Peters all over Canada.
Well, see, that's it. If you work with Russell, then yeah, they're going to like you.
I worked with Russell. Then I went back to do a show at the Underground Cafe with Puff Mama.
Puff Mama.
That
was the first club I ever did where they had bongs in every table.
And so everybody was puffing, right?
Really?
Yeah.
That's
everybody
a thing?
Everybody was smoking bongs while I was on
in
stage.
In Canada?
In Canada.
Oh, because is it legal?
It was private. Yeah, just inside this place was private.
Oh.
Everybody's lighting up joints. And I'm not lighting up nothing, man, because, you know, I want to repeat jokes. I got to do my job first. So once they gave me the light, I said, "All right, man, game over, man." So yeah, man. I remember one time, man, when I was doing really, really horrible in life, which was not so long ago. I wasn't doing horrible in life, but you know, when you're doing horrible in life, you feel like life is kicking your butt, man. Like,
yeah.
I was all tore up. I was getting drunk all the time, and I remember I hung out with you. I don't know. You saw me one sometime. At the improv, and I remember you wrote me this nice letter about how to quit smoking weed.
I did?
Yeah. Yeah, she
what
wrote
did
a.
Say? Tell me what I
she
said.
Wrote, I have it at home. She wrote me, Angela Johnson wrote me
was
a letter.
Was it nice?
It was total nice.
Oh, okay.
I was like, she wrote on my notebook how to quit smoking weed. He goes, first.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I believed in you.
Yes. Very caring.
Yeah, that sounds like me. I didn't know where you were going with it, though. I didn't know if it was like, yeah, you were like judging me.
No, I'm not judging you. It was good. It was actually good. Somebody cared, actually.
Yeah.
But I was just mentioning.
I think I used to say that to you and Edwin.
Yeah, I was mentioning the bullet.
I used to tell Edwin all the time. Edwin.
He wouldn't stop, man.
Edwin, you're so funny. Why?
I know, Edwin Arthur.
And then he'd be like, I got arthritis, Angela.
Yeah, but what are the cigarettes too?
Yeah. Oh,
dude. She said, I only remember the bullet points of that note. The one that said about how I should stop smoking weed. It was the first time somebody said, you start off by picking one day out of the week that you're not going to smoke weed. Then, from that point on, you pick a day of the week that you're not going to, one week, and you're not going to buy no weed at all that week.
I'm so cute and so embarrassing then, and right then, now.
But if they give it to
how cute number and three, stupid. Number, what are you doing?
Number three, and you know, just quit for a whole month. And I remember I went that whole week. She said, I got to the part where she said, don't smoke, don't buy no weed for a whole week. I bought a shitload of weed, man, before I did the whole week. And then I just stopped.
Aww.
But I did quit drinking, eh?
That's good. That's good. You got a lot left in you. You just care about you. That's all.
That's it, man. Yeah,
want you,
man.
Want you to kill it. Man.
So this new special, how long did it take for you to write? For our listeners, out there, people who think they want to do comedy, don't. If you're thinking about doing comedy right now during this interview, I suggest you just don't. You don't got what it takes, people. You're not gonna blow up on YouTube. It's done. It's done. Yeah. People just come
blowing up,
with something
up on
new.
YouTube is done.
People do that. How they think that. Well, she did it. I could do it. Nah, bro. The timing's bad. I got to answer it like Carlos Oscar does. Bro, nah, bro. The timing's bad, bro. It ain't your time.
It ain't your time, yo. Remember?
I wasn't there.
Oh, my God, dude.
No, because Carlos Oscar, he's a comedian we had, and he just broke it down like, you know, it's going to take time, bro, for you to make it, bro. It's going to take time. It ain't your time.
He had a couple predictions that came true, though, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, bro, you're thriving. So this special, you wrote it on the road?
Yeah.
In Cleveland, in Pittsburgh.
I ride on the road, yeah. Let's see. My last special I did was 2011, I think.
That was for Uno TV or CTV.
Nuvo.
Something
Spanishy, yeah.
Yeah, man. We're trying to find that everywhere, man.
Nuvo TV?
Nuvo TV.
Well, I think now they're Fuse TV or something.
Fuse. Oh, they're Fuse.
Yeah, I think now they're
That's what it is. I was trying to find what Fuse. I thought Fuse was something else. So that special you did for Nuvo, did that special go to Netflix or that special?
It's on. I think it's on Netflix now. I think it is now.
Did you do it for free?
No. No, Felipe, don't let somebody tell you that's a good idea. Okay. So the way that one worked is, I didn't have a vision for that special like I did for my first hour special. For my first hour, I knew what I was talking about. I knew the story I was telling. I knew how I wanted it to look, the message I was giving, how the market – I knew everything that I wanted with that special. This second special I did was more so where I was like, okay, I have an hour of material and I'm starting to cycle some things out. So let me document this and record another hour. So I think it was we pitched around and we finally got a production company to buy my hour special. And so we shot it and then they pitched it to different people. And Nuvo is the one who bought it because we were just going to end up going straight to DVD. And then Nuvo ended up buying it. And then I think now it is on Netflix. So that was 2011. What is it? 12, 13, 14, 15. So what, three, 4 years?
Time flies, fool.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, 4 years, I guess, to write. 3, 4 years to write my next hour. I guess it took something like that. I don't know. 11? I can't remember if it was 2011 or 12. Okay, then it was 11 when I shot it because it took about a year. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, your wifey knows a lot of stuff. You guys know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are really good at knowing things.
We know everything, man.
You remember everything. You know everything. I love it. Yeah. So about 3 years to write a new hour.
Where did you record your 1 hour special?
My new one? In the Grove of Anaheim.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I did the Grove of Anaheim. Did two shows there for the taping. And the one before that was San Jose.
Before at that the was Improv or somewhere
the
else?
The Improv.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happened at the Improv, man, with the last manager? I heard of the big fight, you and Jim.
How do you know that?
I mean, I know everything, man.
Oh, my God. How do you know
everybody
that?
Everybody talks. That's why I don't do nothing with the management. I don't hang around with the Improv.
Oh, my God.
I don't hang around with you managers. I don't hang around with owners of clubs. We don't go have lunch
because
they tell everybody everything. I just got to ask, hey, who was here last week? Tell me what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, so remember the story I told you earlier in the podcast about, oh, you're two away from a sellout.
Oh, really?
That was Jim.
That was funny you say that because when I went to the this other club, they told me, man, when you go to the other club, make sure you count everything.
Oh.
And I would see Pauly Shore with a counter, and I was like, why does Pauly Shore have a counter? Mm-hmm. What is the other comedian standing in the back? And I realized when they were telling me, oh, you know, Pauly Shore, he carries the people counter.
I used to do that.
And
I
didn't
still
understand
do
why, but then I realized, oh, wait a minute, this guy gave away 55 comps when he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's comps, it's your bonuses and things like that. And I used to do clickers a lot, and then I started doing more theaters, and you don't count the theaters. But now that we're doing clubs again, we'll probably start bringing the clicker out again. But it's keeping the club accountable, and it's just letting them know that you're watching, one. And that they can't pull one over on you. So already it's a mind game. It's like, hey, we're friendly. We're coming in here. Everybody who I roll with, number one, is professional, is friendly. We're not rude. We're not entitled. We're not demanding anything.
We're asking for steaks.
Everybody that I roll
Tommy
with.
Tommy T.
Is, okay.
I know that one too.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know everything. And okay, so it's we come in friendly and we're like, hey, we're here to do business and you're here to do business. That's great. Let's work together. You know what I mean? And some people are shady. Some people are not. And you learn who is who by the end of the weekend. So we would come with our clicker and former assistant would count every person in there. So by the end, it was capacity is 350, right? And so they were paying me for 350 tickets, but she counted that there's 372 people in here. So those extra tickets, where'd that money come from? We need to make sure you add that in the end. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, our capacity is 350 and you sold out every show. So here's your check. And it's like, okay, but you stuffed in an extra 30 people per show. So where's that money? You know what I mean? And so that's why you count your rooms. It's to hit your bonuses, you know, things like that. So it's again, learning situation that I learned from watching other comedians and hearing how things go. But yeah, back to what's his name at the San Jose Improv. That was one of my first experiences with him and just many, many other things where he just really tried to like ruin my character and like spit on my character and who I am as a person and spread that around to other clubs about me. And I remember
she wanted blankets.
Oh yeah. I have a blanket in my rider because I get cold in the green room.
It's cold. It is right now.
Yeah. I'm not going to travel with a big old blanket on the airplane everywhere. No. So can you put a little blanket in my green room? Thank you. But anyways, he basically, made it sound like I was a huge, huge diva to other clubs and stuff like that. And I remember I'd done his weekend at San Jose Improv. We sold out 8 shows at the San Jose Improv.
Damn.
It was insane. It was insane. The very next weekend was my Pittsburgh weekend that I just told you about, which was my worst and best weekend because I only sold 11 tickets or 17 tickets that weekend. So I went from San Jose to a very humbling Pittsburgh the very next weekend. But when I got there, we're just, you know, hanging out with everybody, taking me to radio and stuff like that. And I remember hearing one of the staff say, wow, you're nothing like the email that San Jose sent over.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? what did they say? And then all of a sudden, the it was lost. They couldn't find it, what he said. You know what I mean? Because then they realized they just got caught. But he basically
was hacked, bro, by Snowden.
Told them, watch out for me. I'm a diva and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Damn. And they're like, yeah, you're nothing like what he said, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait, what did he say? And so, like, that was, like, strike three, that with the past and just other little things that he would do that were real. Just why? What is wrong with you?
And I know. So, why would people do that? She's so nice.
So I told, because I have a really good relationship with the improv. So I told them I'm not going back to the Sounds of the Improv as long as he's the manager. And I never went back for, I think, 6 years or something. And I ended up doing the San Jose Performing Arts Center a couple times. And I would not go back to the improv because of Jim. And then he left and I came back. So.
And sold out 11 shows, people.
Hopefully.
So what's up, fool?
Chilling, dog.
Any what's questions up? Or what?
Nah, I'm clean, fool.
Where you at this week? Cleveland?
Yep, Cleveland.
Cleveland Improv. If you guys know, man, if you have any listeners out there, man, from the Midwest, you know, go check her out, man, because, you know, she's one of those comics that they're going to put her on that whack-ass show, Bob and Tom. So you guys got to promote her, support Angela Johnson in Cleveland, people.
Hey, come on.
Have you done
show.
That show, those Midwest radio shows?
I don't know.
Me neither, man.
I don't know if I have.
Tell me the last time I went to the Midwest besides Chicago. Indiana, Indianapolis, I did the.
Yeah, I did them. I did well there.
It was all right for me. Yep. People from Chicago drove over there.
Yep.
Those were my fans.
Yeah, so just go back to Chicago, basically.
I always trip out, man, like when I do a club. It doesn't happen no more, but because I check it out now. But for all you headliners out there who are listening, man, this might happen to you. Like, you look at the contract, and then you see, this guy spent that much on advertisement.
Yeah.
But I don't see it anywhere.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I don't see it anywhere.
Yeah.
Where's the billboard?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
So what Lisa and I do, my wife and I, you know, I go to a place where it's tough, you know, like, okay, like Tampa or Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I send an email out. Listen, man, if you have a business, this goes out to people out there right now. If you have a business out there right now and you want to promote my show and put a poster that I'm coming to your town, I will give you 4 tickets to Thursday. Okay. 4 tickets to Thursday or Sunday, whatever.
Yeah.
And you'll get in, man. And I will promote your show.
The best shows.
I will promote your shows on the internet. I'll promote your shows on my page, man. I'll let everybody know, man, that your barber shop hooked it up. And that's how I do it.
That's good.
And they show up, man, happy on Thursday for the best show.
I love that. That's good.
So, yeah, you want to tell us about more shows that are coming up?
That's actually a really smart idea. I should probably hit up every hair salon.
They'll do it.
Cleveland.
Oh, by the way, Angela and Yakima, all my tickets are sold through beauty salons.
Really?
Yes. The guy that promotes is a woman. She owns a beauty salon. People go there for hair extensions,
mm-hmm.
and they get their nails done, too. And they buy some weird women's clothes that only women know about. And they do eyebrows, man. And the whole time there's flyers of my show and the lady sells tickets there. And the women that go in, they go, oh my God, my husband loves Felipe. I'm gonna buy 4 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So just to let you know, man, beauty salons in Cleveland is the way to go.
That's funny. I do the opposite where I do sports radio stations because I know that these wives tell their husbands about this like nail salon joke and then, babe, it's so true, blah, blah, blah. So I'll get a lot of husbands at my show. They're like, oh, yeah, she tells me all the time, this and that, whatever. So I'll do sports stations and a lot of times, like, oh, that's the girl my wife likes. I'm going to get 2 tickets, you know, that kind of thing.
That's
so I do
badass.
What you do, but opposite.
Yeah, man. Rodrigo, what you got coming up, man?
Nothing. This Saturday at Ice House Stage 2 with Juan Garcia, I'll be there. And if you guys need exterminating, hit me up through Instagram and Twitter. My paper's low right now. Haven't worked with Mondo for 2 weeks except for today. But let me know if you guys got roaches, rats. Don't let, you know, nobody bite
you
the baby.
You do exterminating?
Yeah.
Please, all that shit. The best exterminator right
That's
here.
Good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
We have an exterminator. I have a very close relationship with my exterminator. Because had I known.
It's all gravy.
I hate spiders. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or anything, but if I have an encounter with a spider, I'm going to post it. And I just recently moved, and we live up in the hills now, where my backyard is basically a forest. And so I have a lot of spiders everywhere. Like, I walk out of my door and I just walk through a spider web. Like, that's my life now. So I've had exterminators at my house. Once a month, they'll come out. And we're on self, like, I text him pictures. I'm like, bro, what is this? I just found this. He's like, oh, it's just a wolf spider. Don't worry about it. Well, oh my God, I'll show you a picture of this spider I just found. I had a brown recluse at my house.
Really?
Yeah. And yeah, it was like, oh, there's no brown recluse in California. No, yeah, there is.
There is, because of travel.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
they will mess you up if you get stung, though.
I know. That's crazy. I almost died. I have a bunch of praying mantis at my house. Freaking everything. What are those silverfish?
Yeah, silverfish.
Those things everywhere. Spiders. I found a spider that was like black and white, polka dotted legs, and a red body.
Damn, I don't know.
And it jumped.
Oreo spider.
It was crawling and then it jumped. Got some crazy oh, yeah, they can leave. At my house.
And IE in LA area only, by the way.
Anybody want some exterminating done, man? Want some roaches smoke? Yeah. Rodrigo Torres is your man.
Yeah.
He'll give you a free podcast taker. Yeah. You ever walk around, bro, and just get mad and just start exterminating for free? Just for the fuck
of it? No, I don't do shit for free.
That's funny.
Right, people. I'm going to be at the Parlor Bar, Parlor Live in Seattle, Washington. First time headlining there in Seattle, by the way. Okay, man. October 8th through the 10th, Seattle, Washington. October 22nd through the 25th. West Nyack, New York. San Antonio, Texas, November 5th through the 8th. Finally, they got rid of that stinking condo over there. Brownsville, Texas. And McAllen, Texas. November 27th, 28th, Thanksgiving weekend. New Year's Eve, Ontario Improv. Man, before we go, man, we got to ask you, man, what's the worst comedy condo you've been to? And I know in the beginning, you couldn't avoid them.
Well, my worst comedy condo experience. It happened one time before I was like,
the manager
put
was
me
still there.
In a rinky dinky Marriott before you put me in a comedy condo now, because at least I know housekeeping came in and cleaned. So I was in this comedy condo, I think it was in Denver, and I went to get in the bed. And
there's still
was
a comic there.
Yeah. There was the guy who was there before me. I forget who it was, but it was a guy comedian before me. But in the bed was makeup all over the pillowcases in the sheets. And I remember thinking, sick. One, you didn't have somebody come clean the sheets from his groupie scenario, and I'm about to get in this bed right now? Hell no. I almost got into a groupie fested bed. I almost had to call you to come and exterminate the groupiness off the bed. It was disgusting. But yeah, it was
that
like,
a long
man.
Time ago?
Oh yeah, that was a long time ago.
Oh man, because I was in Denver at that club last week, and that condo was probably the best comedy condo in the whole wide world.
It's a nice condo.
Oh my.
It's a nice condo.
Oh, the one that has is real big, like a loft?
Yeah, it's a, maybe it's different then. It was a nice condo, but it's, so you did Comedy Works in Larimer Square?
No, in downtown.
Yeah, downtown, yeah. Larimer Square. And it's like maybe two blocks away in a high-rise building.
Yeah, it's a high-rise building, but it's in the second floor. Mm. They changed
then
it.
They might have changed it. Yeah, it's you might be in a real
one.
Nice
this
one.
This one looks like I'm in a set of the MTV Real
Ooh,
World.
That's nice. No, this was older. It was nice. It was big, but it was older and had mascara on the sheets. So
damn, man. She slept
face
down.
It had groupie evidence. It had
bit the pillow that night.
Groupie evidence.
She stood there crying.
Oh, no.
Funny. So what's up, fool? You have any more dates you want to tell our listeners?
Yeah.
About?
Yeah, let me see. My calendar, too. I will be in, okay, how about you just tell me? Cleveland this weekend. Baltimore, October 17th weekend.
In Baltimore, you're in
Timonium.
Timonium. We were there.
Timonium?
That jukebox.
Magoobies.
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 Magoobies or
Magoobies?
Magoobies.
Magoobies. The owner is real cool.
Okay, good.
He'll drive you around wherever you want to go.
Magoobies. And then the San Jose Improv.
It was intense.
Levity Live. I'm doing them November 6th, 7th.
Bring a jacket.
Oh, yep. Pittsburgh Improv. Chicago Improv. And that's it. And then Tommy T's for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, man. Tommy T's.
There you go, Felipe.
I'm going to take you to radio right now, man. I hope you don't mind, but I brought my dog.
Tell her it was your wife, you know?
Hey! She's gorgeous.
Yeah,
his wife.
The whole family, they should have a reality show.
They get together before the show. This is the lies we're going to tell the comedians, right?
I love them.
The dog's like, "Barrr!"
I love. Yeah, funny, they do have their dogs everywhere. I love them.
They have a little pig running around too.
A little pig?
Yeah, a little like a little pig.
That's cute.
It's cute, little pig. Oh, pick that fool up, man. He's
aww,
so rough.
I never saw a pig.
Wee 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 wee.
A little. I'm vegan though, man. So I should like this pig now.
That little bulldog too for a while.
Yeah,
huh?
Man. That little pig, man, you can just, it's so small, man, you can just throw it in lard, bro.
Was that a potbelly pig?
Yeah. Aww. So what's up, fool? You got the dates. Go check out Angela Johnson. Anything else? Anybody? And check out her special this Friday on Netflix. Check out her special on Netflix, people. And also, man, take photos of it on Instagram and post it up.
Yeah.
So people can know what the hell you're watching. And they go, oh, man, I don't know Angela Johnson had a special. Every day, just tell somebody, go watch the special.
That's right. Hashtag Angela Johnson. I'll find
hashtag Angela Johnson. That was a J, people, all right?
That's right. A-N-J-E-L-A-H.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Hell
man.
Yeah.
Anything else, fool?
That's it, dog.
Also, people, if you want to, if you have lice in your house or ants or anything,
we don't do
take
lice.
Care of it. What's up, fool?
Shave your baby's head.
Picture time.